Hi, Living Life family. Welcome back. Wow, I can't believe that we are already on episode 13 of season 4. This season has been amazing and challenging to me. Amazing because it pushed me to go back to the basics of faithful Bible interpretation. That refresher has been such a gift. I loved revisiting these tools and being refreshed in ways that I didn't expect. But if I'm honest, it's also been challenging because it's been technical. And there were moments when I found myself wanting to just create the kind of episodes that feel easier. The episodes people naturally gravitate towards without having to work so hard. Because creating a season for people who are genuinely ready to do the work of Bible interpretation, it's a little risky. And if I'm honest, there were moments when I felt my confidence shrink. But here's what I kept coming back to. There are so many of us who love scripture, who want to understand it. But somewhere along the way, we've either been told that it's too complicated or we've had experiences that made us feel like we're not equipped. And I don't believe that's true. I believe you can read scripture faithfully. I believe you can understand it. And more than that, I believe scripture is meant to form you and to send you. So today, we're going to bring everything together. We're not just going to talk about how to read the Bible. We're going to do it together. We're going to walk through Psalm 1 step by step using the tools that we've been building throughout this season. And I want to show you something really important. Faithful Bible reading doesn't just give you information. It changes who you are and it shapes the kind of person you become for others. Before we go any further, I want us to slow down and to simply listen. I'm going to read Psalm 1. And whether you are driving, walking, or sitting, just let the words wash over you. Happy are those who do not follow the advice of the wicked, or take the path that sinners tread, or sit at the seat of scoffers. But their delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law they meditate day and night. They are like trees planted by streams of water, which yield their fruit in season, and their leaves do not wither. In all they do, they prosper. The wicked are not so, but are like the chaff that the wind drives away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. Let's start by paying attention to the kind of text that we are reading. Psalm 1 is Hebrew poetry, and that matters right away. If we come to it like we're reading a policy document or a to-do list from God, we're going to miss it. Hebrew poetry doesn't argue, it paints. It uses images to shape our imagination before it shapes our behavior. And before we even get into the tree image, look how the psalm opens. The person being described first walks in the counsel of the wicked, then stands in the way of sinners, and then sits in the seat of mockers. Walk, stand, and sit. That's not random. That's a progression. It's showing us how drift works, how we move from passing through to stopping and settling. The poet is making a case with motion. And then the image. They are like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season and whose leaves does not wither. And then the contrast. The wicked are not like this. They are like chaff that the wind blows away. So we have a tree that's planted, rooted, and then we have chaff, that dry, weightless husk that separates from the grain and it just drifts. It has no roots, no weight, and no fruit. That's the poet's art. They're not giving you a lecture. They're giving you a picture and they want that picture to live inside of you. Now, here is where context comes in. And this is one of my favorite things about Psalm 1. This isn't just any psalm. This is the first psalm. It is the gateway to the entire Psalter, the whole 150-psalm prayer book of Israel. And that placement is intentional. Before you read a single lament or a single song of praise, you are handed this image, a tree and chaff, two ways and two outcomes. It's like the Psalms are saying, before we go anywhere together, I want you to know what this is about. It's about where you plant yourself. And if you trace the tree image across the whole Bible, this is what we mean by the canonical reading. You start to see something remarkable. In Genesis, there's a tree of life in the garden. In Proverbs, wisdom itself is called a tree of life for those who hold on to her. In Jeremiah 17, the person who trusts in God is compared to a tree planted by water with deep roots, green leaves, and bearing fruit even in drought. And at the very end of the whole story, in Revelation chapter 22, the tree of life appears again in the new creation, and its leaves are for the healing of the nations. You don't have to catch all of this at once. Just notice the pattern. God keeps coming back to this image. And that's the invitation of canonical reading, to follow the thread and to feel the weight of it. Okay, we've observed the text, we've understood the context and the canonical thread. Now comes a part that I think we skip too quickly. Scripture isn't just meant to be understood. It's meant to be entered. So I want you to stay with me here. Take a breath and ask yourself honestly, where am I in this image right now? Not where do you want to be or where you used to be right now in this season of your life. Are you more like the tree or more like the chaff? Maybe you feel deeply rooted in your faith. You've been in scripture, you're in community, and that part feels solid. But your work life, completely unsteady. You're just reacting, blown around by every deadline or difficult conversation. Or maybe the opposite. You feel grounded at work. You know who you are there. But spiritually, you feel like you're just drifting, going through the motions. Most of us aren't fully one or the other. We might be rooted in some areas and completely adrift in others. We might have seasons of real depth and seasons where we barely feel the ground beneath us. So let's go back to the text one more time. Because Psalm 1 doesn't just show us the end result, it shows us the process. Verse 2 shows us that the person delights in the law of the Lord and meditates on it day and night. Notice two words, delight and meditate. Delight means it isn't an obligation. It's love, it's desire. You don't have to force yourself to return to something you love. You are drawn to it. And what you love shapes you slowly and consistently over time. What you delight informs who you become. And then meditate. In Hebrew, the word is haga. It actually describes a low murmuring sound. It's like the sound of a dove cooing or a lion growling over prey. It's the idea of turning something over and over, dwelling and savoring, not speed reading or checking a box. And you know what's the result? You get planted. Notice that the tree doesn't plant itself, God does. But where you consistently place yourself, what you linger near, what you return to, what you love, that will determine your root system. Spiritual formation is not accidental. It is the slow result of what we consistently delight in and remain near. So the question isn't just, am I reading my Bible? It is, am I lingering? Am I letting it ask me questions? Am I letting it actually touch something inside of me? And now, here's the part I don't want you to miss. A tree does not bear fruit by itself. Think about that. An apple tree doesn't eat its own apples. The fruit exists for someone else. The fruit feeds and nourishes and gives life to whomever or whatever comes near it. When Psalm 1 says the rooted person yields fruit in season, it's not just describing personal flourishing. It's describing what that person becomes for others. So it's wisdom that is given away. It is your steadiness that you offer to someone who feels anxious, or your discernment that you lend to someone who can't see clearly. or just being peace when it's needed. And sometimes it looks even smaller than that. Maybe it's the way you respond differently to a hard conversation, with more patience than you did before. Maybe it's the thing that you just don't say. The steadiness someone else notices in what you do. That's fruit, and it came from being planted. If our Bible study never moves beyond us, if it never becomes something that we offer to others, it has yet to become fruit. We don't move from Bible study to mission as if they are two separate tracks. Faithful reading forms us for mission. The tree grows and produces and it gives. That's the whole movement. And that's how we lived love, not just for us, but through us. Before we close, I want to give you something simple and repeatable. A grid you can use every time that you sit with scripture. I call it the Psalm 1 framework for transformational study. So there's 5 questions for your one passage. First, what kind of text is this? That's the genre. What did it mean then, the context? Where does the theme show up across scripture? That's the canonical reading. What is it forming inside of me? And who is this fruit for? That's your mission. Friends, thank you so much for walking through this psalm with me today. And thank you for staying with the season. I know it asked something of you, and I appreciate it. I hope you don't just leave with better understanding of Psalm 1, but with an invitation to become a person who is deeply rooted, who lingers near water, and who produces something for the sake of others. Stay planted and stay near the water and trust God to grow the fruit. And remember, no matter your story, in Christ you are deeply known, fully loved, and you have a divine purpose. Until next time, keep living loved.